morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about an evacuation at Big Fork High School, a remembrance of University of Montana alumna Emma Lomason, and the Cross Country Ski Festival in West Yellowstone. It's Tuesday, December 3rd. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. A ground blizzard is brewing on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation in northern Montana. Olivia Reingold reports on how the tribe is preparing for high winds and snow drifts.
Katie Kitson, a dispatcher at Blackfeet Transit, says the department has been dealing with late starts and road closures as the storm moves into Browning.
We already had two buses stuck this morning.
Gusts of wind up to 70 miles per hour are expected to create ground blizzard conditions as far south as Dupuyer and as far north as the Canadian border. That's according to the National Weather Service, which on Monday afternoon downgraded the storm from a blizzard warning to a winter weather advisory, in effect until Tuesday morning. It says there could be zero visibility and is warning against driving. Kitson, the Blackfeet dispatcher, says unless Tribal Council tells the department otherwise, the tribal fleet will still be giving Browning residents rides.
Well, right now we're doing medical and employment and bringing passengers to the grocery store to get their groceries and things that they need.
The blizzard comes after a September storm dumped a record-breaking 48 inches of snow on Browning and led Governor Steve Bullock to declare an emergency. Monday morning, the Blackfeet Tribal Business Council told all out-of-town employees to stay home. Many public schools, including Browning Public Schools and Heartbeat School, were canceled for the day. The strongest winds are expected to have passed. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Olivia Reingold is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Corps member. An unfounded bomb threat led to the evacuation of Big Fork High School yesterday morning. Students returned to class about an hour and a half after school officials received the threat. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
The Flathead County Sheriff's Office says school officials received a short, non-detailed message around 7:30 a.m. alleging there was a bomb in Big Fork High School. Sheriff Brian Eno.
School officials evacuated that building and had the students in their other facility. Law enforcement arrived on scene. We did a quick perimeter and then did a check of the school along with the school officials and had everybody back in the school by about 9 o'clock this morning.
This is the third widely covered threat or report of a potentially violent incident in Montana schools this year, though it's unknown just how many incidents happen statewide. Montana doesn't track that data, but according to a biannual voluntary survey conducted by the U.S. Department of Education, there were 11 reported incidents of a firearm found in Montana schools and 639 reported threats during the 2015-2016 school year. Dylan Klapmeyer with the Montana Office of Public Instruction says stats on student mental health from a National Youth Behavior Survey is more helpful when it comes to preventing incidents like Monday's bomb threat in Big Fork.
When there are incidents of violence at schools, it usually is related to some sort of mental illness or bullying that the student is struggling with.
According to the National Youth Behavior Risk Survey, the number of students in Montana reporting feeling hopeless and seriously considering suicide have both increased by 9% and 6% over the past decade. The number of actual reported suicide attempts by Montana students has seen a minor increase at 1%. Flathead Sheriff Brian Eno says it's unknown if it was a student who called in the bomb threat, and an investigation is ongoing.
Our investigative division is still working on, you know, backtracking who made the phone call and is conducting some of those interviews and investigations as we speak.
MTPR reached out to Big Fork School District Superintendent Matt Jensen, but did not receive a call back in time for this story. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A newspaper says lobbyists were involved in drafting or revising opinion columns about health care written by state lawmakers in Montana and Ohio. The Washington Post reported yesterday that lobbyists were involved in producing the final versions of articles warning of the dangers of Medicare for All and other government involvement in health care. The columns were written by Representative Kathy Kelker and Senator Jen Gross of Montana and Senator Steve Huffman of Ohio. Montana Governor Steve Bullock is withdrawing from the 2020 presidential race. Bullock said in a statement yesterday morning, it's clear he won't become the Democratic Party's nominee. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
After his late entrance into the presidential race, Bullock wasn't able to break into the crowded field of Democrats competing for media and donor attention. Bullock failed to reach required polling and fundraising numbers needed to appear in most of the Democratic Party's nationally televised debates. The sitting governor's absence at the first debate was highlighted in a skit this June on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Tonight, America finds out where Governor Bullock stands on key issues and also what he looks like.
The two-term governor and former state attorney general entered the presidential race in May. Bullock focused his presidential campaign message on his credentials of winning re-election as a Democrat in a state that backed Trump by 20 points in 2016. Bullock said in his statement Monday, quote, "While there are many obstacles we could not have anticipated when entering this race, it has become clear that in this moment I won't be able to break through to the top tier of this still crowded field of candidates," unquote. As Bullock sought the nomination for president, some within his own party called for him to run for the U.S. Senate to mount a challenge to incumbent Republican Senator Steve Daines. In an interview with Montana Public Radio shortly after announcing his bid for president, Bullock said he was ruling out a run for the U.S. Senate.
"My experience is as an executive, not as a legislator. I've been able to have success in that arena, and that's where I think that my talents are best suited."
Bullock's presidential campaign told the Associated Press again Monday he would not run for the U.S. Senate. Bullock is term limited and cannot run again for governor. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
The University of Montana in Missoula lost its longest living and one of its most respected alumna this weekend. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien takes a look back at the life and legacy of 107-year-old Emma Lomason.
Most students currently attending the University of Montana never met Emma Lomason, but almost every single one of them is intimately familiar with her namesake building on campus. The Emma B. Lomason Center houses, among other programs, admissions, financial aid, new student services, not to mention the food zoo. It's the heartbeat of UM's campus. Fitting, really, given Emma Lomason's remarkable relationship with the university.
"The biggest gift of all that I've had is being able to work at this institution as long as I did.
Thank you.
It's the greatest gift anyone could be given."
That was Lomason last February 16th. When she woke up that morning, Lomason could boast she'd met all but five of UM's past presidents. By bedtime, she'd whittled that list down to four. UM President Seth Bodner visited her senior living center that afternoon to pay his respects. Lomason earned a bachelor's degree from UM in 1933 and worked there from 1937 to 1977, retiring as the registrar and associate director of admissions and records. For a decade after retiring, she volunteered as a student advisor. Her encyclopedic knowledge of UM was on display that afternoon she met Bodner when somebody asked,
"Emma, we were wondering, who was the registrar before Wayne Woolston?"
"Before Wayne Woolston?"
"Yes."
"Oh, well, J.B. Spear. Who could forget J.B. Spear?"
"We all did."
"Yes. Yes, short little man. He didn't do any harm."
A gaggle of local media attended the meeting, and Lomason reveled in the attention. She repeatedly stressed the value of a good education and her admiration of young, curious minds. I asked her if she trusted UM stewardship to the then 38-year-old President Bodner.
"By my math, you were 68 years old when President Bodner was born. Does his youth concern you?"
"No, I love to see these young people get up there and get those positions. They have young minds, very active minds.
In his message to the campus community Monday, Bodner remembered Lomason this way, quote, though she shied away from the notion, Emma had become quite popular over the years as a passionate fan of all things UM. She cheered for the Grizz, shared recollections of the many people and events that shaped our university, and was known for her positive attitude and generous spirit. I was struck by her love for UM and her passion for education and service to others, end quote. Plans are underway for a celebration of Emma Lomason's life. UM says those details will be shared as soon as they're available. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
The annual cross-country ski festival in West Yellowstone, Montana, wrapped up this weekend. The week-long event, which draws thousands of people from across the U.S., provides an economic boost to a community largely dependent on summer tourism. Rachel Kramer reports.
At a trailhead near West Yellowstone, world-class athletes, college teams, and families get out of sprinter vans and put on their cross-country skis.
Everyone ready?
They glide over sparkling snow and disappear into the forest. For people like Nicole Kramer, this is their new Thanksgiving tradition.
We've been coming here for 4 years. It's a great time to get away for us as a family.
Kramer says they drove 8 hours from Casper, Wyoming to attend the Yellowstone Ski Festival. She says there's a lot to do even when they're not on the trails.
The kids love the trade show and they also love the fashion show. We like going to the raffle and all the different talks, the waxing clinics.
Events like these have helped transform what used to be an early season training camp for the U.S. Nordic ski team in the 70s into a week-long festival that draws in the whole spectrum of skiers, ranging from people who are just learning to professional athletes preparing for the Olympics. Melissa Alder says the influx of visitors also benefits many of the hotels, restaurants, and shops during the slower fall season. She's the chairwoman of the West Yellowstone Cross Country Ski Committee and co-owner of Free Heel and Wheel, a cross country ski and bike shop.
Most businesses in town are very seasonal, and we wanted to provide more of a year-round economy for our community. And so by having the ski festival this time of year, when there's nothing else going on, we're bringing anywhere from 1,000 to 4,000 people to West Yellowstone during this week.
Mary Sue Costello, CEO and president of West Yellowstone Chamber of Commerce, says local businesses depend on recreation-driven tourism. As the busiest gateway to Yellowstone National Park, West Yellowstone's population of less than 2,000 swells to 10,000 with overnight visitors in the summer.
It may appear that in the summertime, like, boy, this town just is really raking it in. The reality always is, you have to make enough money to carry yourself from season to season.
Most businesses here close when tourists are scarce between the end of the park's summer season in October and before the beginning of the winter season in December. But some business owners, like Ramona Stubblefield, find it worth their while to reopen specifically for this week every November.
If the ski festival wasn't here, we would not be open.
She owns two restaurants, including Serenity Bistro, which served dinner to skiers last week.
I do have a bigger family in town, so they help out with this week, because it's very hard to find employees during the winter time.
Trying to run a business in the shoulder season can be a gamble, when Mary Sue Costello with the Chamber of Commerce says there's a labor shortage.
There are restaurants who have told us for many years that's just not something we are capable of doing, is opening for this event, because we don't have staff that lives here year-round.
Melissa Alder with the Ski Committee adds businesses also need nature to cooperate. More people come when they can ski straight from their hotels to the trails rather than shuttling to higher elevations with snow.
We used to always have snow early, and more so we're kind of biting our nails last minute to get the snow.
Workers and weather considered, businesses and the Chamber of Commerce are always looking for ways to draw more people to West Yellowstone in the shoulder and winter seasons. Mary Sue Costello says Kids in Snow, a community program, is one of them. The family-friendly event offers activities like ice fishing, snowmobiling, and skating for weekends throughout the winter. The first Kids in Snow this season is December 14th. It will align with the West Yellowstone Rodeo Run Sled Dog Races and the opening of Yellowstone National Park's West Gate to limited snowmobile and snow coach travel on December 15th. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.